here it is in 2024, the 50th anniversary of Studs Terkel's seminal work, Working. And Mark Larson, you have now written what I thought was maybe a sequel or a companion. But now, as I've heard you talk about it a little bit, I'm understanding that your book, Working in the 21st Century, An Oral History of American Work in a Time of Social and Economic Transformation, is more of a remix of Studs' original work. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's supposed to be my own take for this particular time.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 901, Mark Larson's Working. Mark Larson, the author of Ensemble, An Oral History of Chicago Theater, returns to the podcast to talk about his newest book, Working in the 21st Century, An Oral History of American Work in a Time of Social and Economic Transformation. It's a powerful and insightful collection of interviews that gives a megaphone to some important but quiet voices. And Mark began our conversation by talking about how much he borrowed from Studs Terkel's original book, Working.
What I did make a conscious choice to do, though, is sort of keep his formatting first as a way to honor him. Yeah. And then, but also, I thought it might, in some maybe subliminal way, suggest the difference between the two times if it's in the same form. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I wondered if the I might suggest that to people who, my dream was always that people would read them side by side in college. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if I was still teaching, that's probably what I would do.
Yes, there are similarities in layout and structure, I guess. But one of the fascinating things about it is how much has stayed the same, but how much has changed, and not just because this was started during a pandemic.
Yeah, so much is, well, it's obvious. It's been 50 years of technological advances. You've got COVID, you've got AI coming in. You've got such a fractious political environment, too. He was writing his book between 70 and 74. There's the Vietnam War, there's Watergate, there's women's rights, there's civil rights, all that's happening.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is another parallel. We're in a time of great upheaval again. I would say even greater upheaval now. And so I think that's part of the parallel in my mind.
Where did you find your subjects?
It's, you know, if I went, there are 103 people in the book, and I think I talked to well over 140, somewhere between 140 and 150. And I wish I had a little note about how I found each person, because it is intriguing to look back on, but at the time, you're just trying to get these interviews done. But I found them in, you know, so each, this is a long way of saying each one has its own story. There's not a specific way.
Yeah.
You know, there's not just one way. Facebook, for all its nuttiness, was extremely helpful. I tried to get people who were my Facebook friends and the people who followed me to be aware of the book. So I would post stuff about the book so that when I would say, hey, I'm looking for a nurse who's working, you know, on a COVID unit right now, people would just jump on it because I had already contextualized it. Right. So I used that. When Studs interviewed me, I remember he interviewed me twice. And I remember at the end, he said, you know anybody else I should talk to? And that's kind of a standard thing. And so I did a lot of that, too. And then it kind of branches from there, which is fun. But the other thing is, I think I obsess on the news. I watch a lot of news. And so as I'm watching the news, I'm thinking, I ought to get a so and such and such. You know, I need to get somebody who's doing this. I need an abortion provider, for example. And then I start looking for an abortion provider. In addition to that, I've always sort of seen serendipity as a tool, and I use it as a tool. And so you sort of pick up on, you know, a chance meeting. Studs was brilliant at that. I mean, the people he'd meet on the bus, at the bus stop, at the, you know. And so I would try to use serendipity as a tool for myself too.
I love that because I've said it before and I forget. I should really look this up because I quote it all the time, but it's either George Bernard Shaw or Mark Twain or somebody completely else who said stories only happen to people who can tell them.
That's wonderful. That's well, great.
And in your case, you know, subjects reveal themselves to you in this serendipitous way, but you're able to go, oh, I should talk to you. I should put your, I mean, I suppose now I'm thinking about it, it occurs to me too. I should put your conversation into my podcast. You should put these conversations into your book.
Yeah. Yeah. There are conversations that just occur. And then you say, you know, you say, I'd love to talk to you about this. Would you mind my recording it sometime? And can we set that up?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so on the lookout. Anytime you're writing something, anytime you're working on something, you just are always alert, right?
Yeah.
And you can't even turn it off.
Well, and it's one of the, you talked about how you sourced your subjects via Facebook. For those of us who are your Facebook friends, we get these teases from you all the time about your various books that are about to be published and the book that you're working on now. So it's exciting that you're working in the 21st century is now out. And did I hear you correctly that you waited until 2024 to release
kind of, yeah. When I talked to my publisher, Doug Seibold, I was hoping it would come out sooner just because I'm in a rush.
And impatient, sure.
And I'm impatient. I want it out. I don't want to wait. But I think he really wanted it to wait until 2024 so that we could say, here it is on the 50th anniversary of Studs Terkel's working.
What were some of the surprising things that you found? Oh, and did they line up thematically? I mean, did you find a common arc amongst your 100 and change interview subjects?
It was really different from working on Ensemble, my previous book, which told, you know, that traced the history of Chicago theater, how it came to be since 1952. When there was very little, I had a built-in arc. I mean, there's a chronology, and that was difficult enough because there were so many things happening at once. Right. But for this, I just went over and over and over trying to figure out how to organize it, and knowing full well nobody's going to read it front to back, though that's how I always read Studs. But for those who do, it begins with a doula after the preface. It begins with a doula and it ends with a funeral home director.
Yeah.
And then so that sort of in my own mind gave me somewhat of an arc, you know, but I'm not, you know, that all breaks down too. You're not going from childhood to teenage. It's hard to even talk about the way it's organized because I went over it so many different times trying to get it to work.
It's hard for you to talk about it because you're in the middle of it. But I love how you've structured it because you've arranged it. Part one, fundamentals. Part two, this brave new world. Love a Shakespeare quote. Part three, the pursuit of happiness. Part four, after work. And then they are blue collar, white collar, health and safety, children, school, community, bosses, the U.S., pride. I made that. You mentioned how fraught our particular moment is with AI and whatever. Did you go on an AI website, a ChatGPT, and ask these questions for a responsible opposing viewpoint from an actual AI?
That's so interesting. No, as a matter of fact, I think one of the things that it doesn't really have, it has like one mention of AI because I was just becoming aware of it myself during this. You know, I think if I was working on it right now, I'd delve into that more. But it was just beginning to come into my consciousness, and You know, I have since talked to some teachers about what are you doing? And they're still, I don't know. You know, it's sort of early. So I haven't really used it that much myself, though every once in a while I throw in a question just for fun.
Hi, this is Ian Gomez, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast live. Are we live?
Where can you RSC the RSC? We'll be performing The Complete History of Comedy Abridged this month at Hillsdale College and the Dogwood Center for the Performing Arts in Michigan on March 21st and 23rd, and the American Theater in Hampton, Virginia on April 12th, and the Hilton Performing Arts Center in Fairfax, Virginia on April 13th, 2024. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Mark Larson, author of the new book, Working in the 21st Century. Mark was talking about the qualities that all the people who agreed to be interviewed by him share.
There genuinely is a generosity there that I find... And I keep trying to find ways to describe this, but that I find high contrast with the public figures that we see. You know what I mean?
I do know and what I'm, you mean. Talk more about that. Yeah.
I'm looking for a way to talk about it, actually, because I think there's something definitely there. It's not like a nobility of the worker thing, which I kind of hate that notion. But there's this selflessness. And there's a coal miner, this guy who's a former coal miner, who talks about, I never thought about becoming rich or well-known. It was just always about putting food on the table. And in just a very simple way, I think if all you watched was the media, the news and the stuff, there's this kind of almost a built-in assumption, at least in America, everybody's trying to achieve some sort of fame or some sort of wealth,
yeah,
right? That's just the, and anybody who doesn't, that's a failure in a way. And anybody who does is a success.
Yeah.
I think in the people that I talk to, that's just not there. Yeah. It's just not, it's almost not part of the equation.
I think that's 100% true. And it's part of the problem with, I think, the media. And I'm not one to talk in the huge generalities about groups or institutions, but I mean, I do think there's a failure to talk about the people who are actually there living, making up the community. I've gone to some places around the world that people would call war-torn or complicated, and almost everybody I've met in these places have been lovely. Because of course they are. They're all just trying to survive and get through the day. But it's the jerks who make the headlines and get the attention. And it's true for our moment now.
I am thrilled that you said that, because that's kind of what I was hoping for. What I didn't want was the airline attendant who got beat up. You see that on the news.
Yeah.
I want the airline attendant who goes to work every day and has, what's that day like?
Yeah.
I think what we get the steady diet of is the abnormal and then it seems to feel like it's normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But the airline attendant that I talked to, she actually came to my book launch. I got to meet her.
Oh, cool.
But she loves her job.
Yeah.
And when I was looking for a flight attendant, I was thinking I was going to hear all these kind of horror stories. And yes, they are now taught self-defense. Yes, they have to face these different things. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was very different after 9/11. And yes, I just love what I do. I don't want to leave. And she said, it's hard to get people to retire because they love doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the story you hear about flight attendant.
Well, and again, it's probably self-selecting and de facto is that the people who want to talk to you are the people who love what they do and want to share what they do. And again, that's one of the joys of the book, I think.
Yeah, just I was so wanting to capture everyday life. And I don't think that's a bad word about people. You know, Studs would always sort of apologize for saying ordinary people or everyday people. But I think it's a lovely thing to be.
Mark, now that your book is out there, can we hope, can we dream that your book will get the ultimate accolade and be transformed into a musical the way Studs' original book was?
That's funny you should say. Well, actually, it's timely that you should say. Next week, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to sit down with Stephen Schwartz, who adapted the book for for the musical stage, and we're going to talk about that and the putting together of my book at the Museum of Broadway. So that's coming up. So it's not like I'm trying to pitch him my my book. He's not going to do that. But we're just going to have the conversation, which I'd like to do. The other thing is coming up, Chicago Dramatists is pulling together an event, and they're going to have people who will read from it too, which I'm really looking forward to hearing.
That's amazing. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Mark Larson's Working in the 21st Century is available everywhere. And if you're in New York City this weekend, you can see Mark in conversation with Broadway composer Stephen Schwartz, the man who turned Studs Terkel's book into a musical, this Saturday afternoon, March 16th at 4 p.m. in conversation at the Museum of Broadway. Go to humanitix.com for more information. Then send us your quiet nobility via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. You can also follow Mark on Instagram @MarkAllenLarson. Thanks as always to Idle Layabout Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kendra Greathouse. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to my TV husband, Ian Gomez. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 901 2700 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And maybe the sequel then to this podcast could be not Mark Larson's Working, but Mark Larson's Singing.
Could be.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.